Get Ready Podcast!
So welcome to this episode of Connie's Podcast. I'm Pao. My Twitter handle is IconPickFix.
My name is Dane. My Twitter handle is IconFastFixia. So this episode of the podcast is a little different from what we've had before. As longtime fangirls, we've come to learn from experience that fangirling isn't all fun and rainbows.
Yep.
And we've had to come to terms with difficult issues as well. And so we've had to process kind of these feelings several times over in the past. And we had really intended to make an episode about this before, but decided against it then. But in line of recent events lately, we feel that it's maybe relevant to do it now, which is why we're recording this.
Yep.
I guess to clarify, in a lot of ways, we're doing this for ourselves.
I think mostly for ourselves talaga.
Yeah, so we're hoping it'll be therapeutic. But hopefully in sharing this, it can also help others, you who's listening to this in this difficult time. We are recording this on June 15, 2019,
on a Saturday.
So I guess, but if you're not ready to hear sort of anyone talk about the events that happened over the last week, and also some major K-pop events that were not pleasant that also happened in the last couple of years, which we will touch upon, it might be best not to listen to this episode. You know, we want to help, not to hurt. And so if you think that listening to something like this might trigger you more, you know, we suggest that you stop this podcast. We have a few more episodes that are more fun, more light in nature. So yeah, maybe it would be better to sort of refer to those. Another thing that we have to note is we are not trained professionals in medicine. Whatever we talk about in this podcast are all our personal opinions and perspectives based from our experiences. So, you know, don't take this as anything based on sort of anything other than that. And if you do need help, please do seek the help of a medical professional. We're going to put some useful links in the show notes for this episode. That sounds kind of vague, unless you are aware of what's happened in the last week. But I guess to just sort of put the information out there, that's clear. I think, Pao, you're going to talk about what's happened.
Okay, so am I ready to talk about what's happened?
Yeah.
So, just to give you a little background, last June 12, there was shocking news about our beloved icon leader, which is Kim Hanbin. Dispatch reported that there's allegedly an attempted purchase of illegal drugs. There were KakaoTalk messages. These are also alleged KakaoTalk messages released in Korean, but some of our co-iconics also translated the messages.
The chat logs were from 2016, by the way. So from 3 years ago.
Right. And then from that span of time, the news actually, you know, ang bilis nung events. The events were really very fast. After the release of the messages, YG Entertainment immediately issued a statement denying the story. YG even said that they really manage the drug use of their artist. We don't want to give any color on that statement.
So that's in quotes.
We do have some news articles that would actually be really strong in terms of what their opinions are, but we don't want to touch that. We just want to give you a run through of the chronological events. And then it stated, and I quote, BI has nothing to do with it, of the alleged 2016 drug case, because every 2 months, YG purchases a drug diagnostic kit from the US and performs drug tests on all artists. And during that time, they said that BI submitted the test, and they said that in Icon, there wasn't anyone who tested positive. So, meaning they all are negative of drug use. And then a couple of hours later, Hanbin posted an announcement in his Instagram, and it was in Hangul. So some of the fans who does translations were kind enough to translate what he said, and we tried to look for at least the nearest translation. And in his statement, he said that he was sorry for his inappropriate doings and that he was tempted to rely on such things due to the hardship and stress, and that he didn't give in because he was scared of it. And then he apologized and he said that he was embarrassed to the fans and to the Icon members. He must have been disappointed and hurt with what's happening. Mm-hmm. And then he mentioned that he wants to leave the group, mm-hmm. to fully look back and reflect on his actions. And then he apologized once more. After a couple of hours, again, YG confirmed that Hanbin is departing from Icon, mm-hmm. and that the contract, his contract in YG Entertainment is terminated. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically day one.
Yeah.
A lot of things that happened. And I'm pretty sure that some of our fellow Iconics were really shocked, and maybe they felt like, you know, like ako, I felt like it was such a TMI for me also. And then, of course, just like in any other scandal, there's another report the day after. Mm. Because in the Kakao Talk, they said that he was conversing with A. Mm. The following day, A's identity is revealed.
Yeah.
So that's basically the big news for day two. Yeah. And then for day three, which is just yesterday, June 14, it was also revealed that there's an involvement of Lee Sung Hoon from Winner. A news outlet released also a Kakao Talk. Basically, they said that it's a secret message option in Kakao Talk, confirming that Lee Sung Hoon conversed with A if A really met Hanbin.
Asking about what happened.
Yeah, asking about if there's really something going on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we don't know anything much about it because that's the only report that we got.
Going with that.
Yeah. And then YG released a statement that he's stepping down. I think this is the big news for day three.
That day.
That he was stepping down from his position in YG Entertainment. Mm-hmm. We all know that YG is not the only yang in the company. So the next expectation is that the brother of YG will be stepping up. But then again, Yang Min-suk, who's the brother of YG, also released a statement that he's also stepping down from his position in YG Entertainment. Mm-hmm. So that's basically the three big days for the Iconics. And then today's day four so far, as of recording this episode, there's no news.
Yeah.
I was telling Dane that, so does that mean like good? No news is good news? We don't know. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty quiet right now in the fandom. So Dane, given the events, should I say like, is this a stressful event for us? It is, I think.
How did you feel when the news broke? And it had to be on a holiday. So
yeah, it had to be on a holiday here in the Philippines.
Yeah, in the Philippines.
I was telling Dania that it was really mixed emotions for me. Mm. I didn't know how to react, but mostly at first I felt angry. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't explain why exactly I was angry. I just know that I was. Mm. That's how I feel. And then I think at some point I was also in denial. Mm. Because Icon's career is just starting.
Yeah.
It hasn't even been 5 years, right?
No, not yet.
See? So, but it's too early for such big scandal.
Yeah.
And on the first day, on June 12, when I was seeing all the reports and then all the mixed reactions also of the fans, and also there are some news outlets also that, you know, medyo clickbait yung headlines nila. I just felt like I had to tap out Stan Twitter.
Right.
So I think I tweeted about that, like, okay, hashtag tap out.
Mm-hmm. And even you and I did not chat so much that day.
So
because, you know, you just need space sometimes.
Well, at least my initial reaction after tapping out is to transfer to my other account, my other Twitter account. Mm. And for some reason, which I will explain later, I had to confide with my Shawol friend. So you're not foreign naman that I am a Shawol also. So I had to talk to them. And I guess the reason behind that is that I need to process the anger that I was feeling. Because I was so clueless also. Mm. Dane was actually asking me like, are you angry at Hanbin?
Like, who are you angry at? Yeah. What are you angry at?
I couldn't even answer that. Yeah. So, well, yeah. So that's my initial
Maybe reaction. I shouldn't have asked, honestly.
No, but
triggering.
Yeah, but actually that's how I reacted when the news broke out.
So for me, like I was having it was gonna be a really good holiday, supposedly. I mean, the day, like, even as an iconic, like, the day before, Yunyoung and Chanyu were on a V Live, which was like the cutest, most adorable thing. It was so fun. And I was really looking forward to a super chill holiday. I was with family. I was making avocado toast.
Wow.
which I love. So I was away from my phone for a while because I was making avocado toast. And then when I checked my phone, there was all this sort of allegations and the chat had been released. I was really shocked. I mean, I think similar to you, Bao, it's like, what is happening? You know, things were going so well. There's so many things that are planned for the group. Like, why is this coming up? It was from 3 years ago. So generally, I was annoyed at first after the shock of it, just because they were doing so well, there were so many plans, why is this being brought up now? Like, I just didn't understand why it was relevant. And it wasn't also clear to me, like, what is the issue ba? Parang, I saw were the chat logs, and he was inquiring, but there was no... And another thing is it even real, the chat logs? I mean, it was released by a news... unit, like a website. It wasn't from the police or anything.
Well, they did say that the chat logs were from dispatch.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't from like authorities.
Yes.
So there was a lot of questions that were unanswered. So I also wasn't inclined to believe it at first.
Yeah, there were fans who were saying that it's just a rumor. Since, it's and not even coming from someone who's legit.
So there was a lot of like speculation, a lot of denial. But then even at that time, I was also already thinking in my head, okay, so I don't want to believe it. I don't think it's true. But what if it is? And I did ask myself that, how would I react? Yeah, like how would I feel? And I think even at that time, I had made up my mind of what I would, you know, how I would react in the event that it was true. And so I had kind of made my decision already, you know, thinking about what could be the worst case scenario. So coming to terms with how I would react did give me some form of relief, but at the same time, it didn't make me any less scared of, okay, what might come next? Mm. I mean, having been a fangirl for a while, we know how something like this can be extended sort of by the news, by the media. They just want to look at different, you know, all possible angles. And so I knew that there would be more news coming out, and I worried about that. And I also didn't honestly want to see all those, you know, reports or speculations, because I just didn't know how beneficial it could be. In fact, for me, it would have been detrimental to sort of my mental health to sort of be embroiled in all of this. And so, which is why, you know, after coming to terms personally on how I would react to the situation if it were proven true, I just decided not to check sort of my feed on Twitter, but I stayed on in DMs with sort of a few mutuals that I was already talking to anyway prior to that, and also spoke to friends like with PD Nim and Pao on group chat. It didn't feel like it was the end of the world.
Yeah,
we're gonna give you context as to why. I think, I mean, we do feel that it was a big blow. I admit that, like, it's horrible news. You don't want to hear that about your favorite group. But I think the way we handled it was because we had gone through something similar and something worse as fangirls. And I think in a way, you never prepared for things like this.
Yeah.
But it did sort of equip us with a little bit more sort of, I guess, strength. As I say this, honestly, I also don't know if I'm just in denial. Like, part of me is scared. Like, I mean, why am I not as maybe broken as, you know, the tweets that I see on Twitter.
I think I was the one who's more shaken up, I guess. But I was telling Dean that, I was shaken up, but I think I bounced back faster. Yeah, because of the things that we have gone through in the fangirling life also. So to that point, we have context on why we reacted that way. And we also feel for our fellow iconics who are actually still grieving until now.
Oh yeah, it's totally understandable.
You have all the right to feel that way.
Yeah.
Your emotions are very well validated.
Yeah.
And you don't have to feel sorry for acting up. You're not acting up, to be honest. It's legit what you're feeling. We're very understandable on that.
Yeah, like, don't let anyone sort of devalue or say that your feelings aren't valid.
Yes.
Because to be honest, so this, obviously, as I said, this isn't the first time that we've come upon an issue like this with an idol that we like and we support them. And I remember maybe like the first few times that it happened, you know, with the other groups that we used to stand, I remember thinking, gosh, why am I so affected? I mean, like, I don't know this person personally. Yeah. He lives a million sort of miles away. Well, not a million, maybe a thousand. But I shouldn't be this affected. But I was. And honestly, it took me a while also to sort of come to terms with that. You know what? I mean, yes, it's not real. It's not part of my real life. But it doesn't mean you can't have real feelings about it. I think after overcoming that already from before, so that's something I didn't have to deal with in this situation with Icon, because I already knew that whatever I felt would be valid. I wouldn't feel bad about it. I'm not embarrassed to feel bad about it, because they are valid feelings.
So in our fangirling life, I guess we, like we mentioned, we have experienced different things, and so I think we should mention what we have gone through. We are not like new to,
definitely not,
scandals.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean,
we're like fangirl dinosaurs. We've been here a while.
Hindi naman kami first gen. Hindi naman kami Hallyu level.
Hindi naman.
But I think it's safe to mention that we're actually the second generation idol fangirls.
Yeah.
Well, for Dane,
I mean, I started 2009, so it's been 10 years.
I think I started 2011.
Yeah.
2011-2012.
Yeah.
The first time that I fangirled with Dane, the K-pop fan group.
And PD Nim.
And PD Nim. is with EXO, right? So we all know that, of course, the EXO.
And we were there for, I mean, we came in about Growl era.
Yeah, the Growl era. Or maybe pre-Growl, but
pre-Growl, but like we weren't, we weren't invested. Yeah. We got invested Growl era moving, moving from that. So,
and I remember ako, I stand XOM first.
Yeah.
And then PD Nim and then stand XOK.
Like our biases are in K. So, but we love them equally.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that time, because Growl was when they kind of got together. So,
yes. And Growl that was really fun, right? That was really a fun era also. But then, you know, as we progress in our fangirling with EXO, it's not all fun.
Yeah. Also, the thing about EXO was, so, I mean, I started with Super Junior, Big Bang, but the first group I seriously stand, and I still stand, is SHINee. But the EXO fangirling that the three of us did, and I don't know if it's because it was the three of us, well, the four of us, we had another friend who was also like, who started it all, to be honest.
It's her fault.
Yeah. That was like intense.
Yeah, that was really intense
fangirling.
Like, this is the first time, this is the first group that I actually flied out with PD Nim and Dane to watch a concert of EXO.
Yeah.
And to me, that was actually, no, that was my second concert, but it was my first concert outside of the Philippines.
Yeah.
For K-pop.
Yeah. And just also the, like, reading all the articles. Like, we were updated. Like, we would see their airport photos. Like, you know. Because, like, with SHINee, I think it wasn't that intense of just a following. Yeah, and I think the fandom was just also a very emotional fandom at the time. Especially when everything sort of happened. So we were already fans when Chris left.
Yeah. It was a big blow for me. Because that was my first. EXO was my first K-pop group that I really stand, that I really followed.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Chris left, I remember our friend started all of these things.
she was her vice. Yeah.
So she was a Chris fan and she was really telling me how hurt she was. And then I couldn't also process, like, I have questions like, did you really have to leave and all that stuff? It was shocking for me because I wasn't used to that. I mean, I also stan other Asian groups like Taiwan pop and J-pop and Mandopop. But there's really no such scandals like a member leaving a group or something like that. I mean, that basically doesn't exist in the groups that I stand back then.
And we, the concert that we had flown to Hong Kong for to watch, which was the EXO concert, by then I think the news was pretty fresh that Chris had left. It was like soon after Chris had left, and it being Hong Kong,
yeah.
they were very, you know, they're very biased towards
yeah.
Chris, and so they would show the MVs
yeah,
outside of
that,
the venue,
yeah.
and there would be like a
roar of fans.
Yeah, like an
audible
collective sigh.
Whenever Chris appears on the
MVs,
the fans would be really roaring and screaming that
yeah.
you know, supporting Chris.
Yeah, so we felt that, I guess.
So
and,
by the way,
yeah.
Dean, just to make the conversation light, who
yeah.
was your EXO bias?
It was D.O. That's the thing, like, with SHINee and ICON, it's really hard for me to, like, with SHINee, I have a top one, but I almost love them all equally.
Yeah.
Same with ICON. But with EXO, there was a clear winner, and it was D.O., followed by Baekhyun, yeah. Well, who was yours?
Well, for me, oh my gosh, talagang big blow to sa akin. My EXO bias was Luhan.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you guys know
what happens next. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, we'll get to that part later.
Yeah. And yeah, to your point, Pao, like during that time, the biggest scandal that your idol could get into was actually a dating scandal.
Yeah.
I mean, second gen was kind of that way at the time. To that point, another sort of big blow.
Ah, yeah, big blow to talaga kay Ding.
Yeah, like,
na-hurt talaga
like,
siya.
Like, honestly, the Chris one, I wasn't so hurt just because I think I felt where he was coming from, sort of. Like, I can understand when a person wants to leave a group. Like, to me, and I'm gonna eat my words just when it comes to ICON about this, but at the time, we knew that there were a lot of issues
yeah.
with how, at least, you know, there were speculations about how SM was managing EXO.
Yeah.
And there
and
were
also
already
the contract, right?
The contracts, and there were already speculations before that of how possibly Chris wanted out. There was a time that he was gone for a while, and fans were like, they called it Chris Watch. They were like, where is Chris? Like,
yeah.
there were speculations he had flown to Canada for some reason. Like, so there were warning signs. It was a shock still,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't like, for me at least, it wasn't completely off left
yeah.
field that it happened.
Oh, by the way, ako in general,
mm-hmm.
I do have a thing for
oh yeah, context.
For people. In general, I mean, whether K-pop or in real life, I really have a thing for people na maalis.
Yeah.
I really feel bad. I don't know why. Medyo malalim yung hugot ko doon. Huwag na nating discuss. But yeah, I feel bad whenever a person leaves, whether, you know, leaving for another country or leaving for good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I was really affected on the Chris issue.
Yeah. To me naman, I was always cognizant of the fact that EXO, you know, being an idol, it's a job. I've always felt that, and like any job, you can sort of leave. Funnily
yeah.
enough, that's not exactly how I feel about ICON right now. But that time, that was sort of where I was. And then for some reason, therefore, the Baekhyun Taeyeon dating news, when they sort of released pictures of them on a date, like, that was more shocking to me. Just because being a second-gen fan, like, that was a big,
yeah.
big taboo
yeah.
for second-gen idols. Like, someone as big as Baekhyun from EXO and
Taeyeon yeah.
dating, that was a big deal. Yeah, I think PD Nim and I actually went to find newspapers to have a drink after the news came out. So yeah, that was a pretty major.
She was really affected.
He's not. He wasn't even like my top bias, but I'm like, I don't know. It was just a shock. And then after that,
oh yeah,
we were not done.
Yeah,
EXO was not done.
EXO, we stand EXO so for quite a
pretty
while.
Long
right?
time. Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, so the next issue with mm. EXO was, I think with Luhan, ito talaga nasaktan talaga ako. Although there were clues already.
Yes.
Because it was the same pattern. He was really missing.
Right.
Also.
Right.
And then fans are also speculating already that, he's missing. So therefore, mm-hmm. there might be something going on.
And my precedent na eh.
Yeah.
So,
and then I remember there were news articles already, or at least rumors. Not news articles really, but
yeah.
Rumors in. I was active in Tumblr back then.
Oh, right.
And
yeah,
Tumblr is actually.
It's like how Twitter is now.
Yeah.
Sort of.
And that Tumblr was like the old Reddit.
Right.
If you want rumors,
speculations,
theories, conspiracy
yeah.
theories,
yeah.
Tumblr is actually the way
yeah.
to go. I remember there was a Tumblr account for Luhan, and then They were saying that how he hated so much doing the activities because they had to fly a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's afraid of flying.
He's afraid of flying.
And he
has
to take the train one time or something. Yeah.
And it was really tiring for him.
Oh man, yeah, I remember.
And then, yeah, I was a bit dead ma of those because safe to say that I was also in denial that it's not gonna happen. I mean, like all the brotherhood, etc. And the friendship that they built, but eventually. You know, after a couple of months, the news broke that Luhan was also
decided to leave.
Yeah, he decided to leave EXO. And I remember, like, feeling angry also. Because there was an interview in which he said that he didn't want that life.
What life?
The idol life. And then for quite a while, I was a bit disappointed that he said that. Or at least that, you know, an article was released about that. Because, hello, he's an idol now in China. So, it doesn't connect.
Yeah.
But then, you know, I mean, I was an emotional fangirl. So, I think the anger came about because, yeah, it was emotional.
We were very emotional fangirls when we were fangirling over EXO. Yeah,
that's true. The other scandal would be the Tao.
Then eventually, Tao also decided to leave.
Parang yon,
and
by
then, like numb. Yeah.
And I think after the when Tao left, that was the start of me tapping out of EXO.
Sort of. Yeah. Same.
Yeah. And I think it's safe to say that. I mean, I still appreciate EXO until today. I mean, I have a lot of EXOLs. Friends.
Yeah, oh yeah, we do. New ones as well.
And yeah, I don't know if it's safe to say that they are so fortunate that they didn't really experience the fandom ups and downs. Yeah.
Well, they're going through a whole new batch of sort of ups and downs now with EXO. So yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Like with the Kai Jenny and
like all the dating and you know, all the army. I mean, it's around that time. Yeah. You know, they're old enough to go. So yeah. So I think the EXO, our experience with EXO, is a
shade us.
Yeah, and it is, I guess, the closest that we've had with sort of what's happening now.
Yeah.
For me, lang the difference is with the guys who left EXO, it was their choice. It wasn't forced upon them because of something that had been revealed or something that had happened. Whereas now, it feels a lot like that. I mean, you know, if the news hadn't been released by Dispatch, I feel like this maybe wouldn't happen. And I know there are many theories as to why this happened, but I don't want to go into that now. And also, I think it's different for me because I think having seen Icon, you know, as Team B, going into Mix and Match, and them just being very open about their relationships with each other, I just feel that their brotherhood is really... like, goes deep. It's not just something that they show on screen.
We have seen them in as trainees. Unlike with EXO, we already saw them.
They're already packaged. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They're already debuted. And it's not like we have a choice to pick who's who. But but for Icon, we saw them during Win.
Yeah.
It was so raw, I guess.
Yeah, and there's something very genuine about, you know, how we saw them before and just everything that they had been through, you know, up to debut and until now. That wasn't really shared with us with EXO just because things were different in second gen. In second gen, you didn't really, especially with SM, you didn't see, there was always an image to sort of show. And you didn't see beyond that. Whereas I think with third gen, actually, I don't even know if EXO is a second gen group. They're like a borderline, I guess.
Yeah.
But then, like, groups now, like, groups that came after, they're a bit more willing to open up about their sort of lives behind the stage.
Yeah, I guess because of
the screen.
The survival shows.
Yeah. So, I think Big Bang was the same way.
Yeah, but then, you know, the survival shows back then were not really big.
Exactly.
And like today, we have Produce 101, and then
and social media just feeds on to sort of that content. And so, I don't know if I'm gonna regret saying this in the future, but like, I really feel like I know Icon better than we kind of knew EXO, and that there's an authentic, like, there's just a rawness there and like an unfiltered sort of image of them that they've been sharing with the fans.
But then from the perspective of another friend whom I talked to like the past days, she told me that, you know, it's like you feel like you know them, but you don't really know them.
Yeah. So that's where I think, like, for me personally, I haven't come to that point yet where some, you know, the news that has come out has sort of broken my perspective and my image of who the Icon Boys are, which is why I think I can kind of hold it together, is I still have faith in them. Like, yes, this happened. And I guess this harps back to, you know, when I came to terms with, okay, what, how will I feel and, you know, what will I do if, in the event that it's true, we're hoping it's not true, but in the event that it's true, how would I feel? And my answer is still, I would still support them. Because, I don't know, like, I feel like from what I've seen of them, they can move forward from this and they will stay together from, you know, after this.
Yeah.
And yeah, and talking about it now, I feel like, I mean, the fact is, he's left. Hanbin has left. His contract has been terminated. The six boys will move on to do the Japan tour.
Well, at least that's what...
For now. They're going to go on published. With their Japan tour without Hanbin. We are going
to
watch.
We don't know what will happen, to be honest.
Yeah. But from what we know now, I don't know why I still have faith that they'll still be together some way, somehow in the future. So my faith in them hasn't wavered. To be honest, I'm worried that I hope that no other news report comes out to make me sort of have to not have that faith anymore, which is exactly what your friend had sort of warned you about.
Yeah, actually the showers reminded me that actually, not only the showers, I should make a shout out to a friend who's also a VIP.
Yeah.
She told me that, yeah, you just expect for the worst but hope for the best.
Yeah.
At the same time, you know, it will be, you know, digging up on the issue would make it more cruel.
Yeah.
And you just have to be ready, you have to be strong and all of that.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's the thing. Like, I think I've come up with sort of my worst case scenarios. And I've come to terms with how I would react if those things happen. But in my head, I mean, if I were Doctor Strange in Endgame, looking at all the possibilities, there is so far no possible, like there is no situation or news report that will make me waver that's possible to happen. So for me, like, I would still support them so far from what I perceive might happen from this.
And to be honest,
I hope I'm right. I just, I mean, if I'm being honest,
and yeah, so to be honest, on my end, before I became an Iconic, I was also a hardcore shower. I think me and Dane both were hardcore
still are,
of course. And you know, standing shiny is also a different ballgame.
So
for
that's
us.
Yeah, and I think that's, to me, I owe a lot of how we reacted right now to how to what we had gone through.
Yeah.
With SHINee.
So, for SHINee, it was actually a pretty chill-ish.
Yeah, you know? For it, a long-standing group.
Because
like,
also the fandom is very close to each other, like tightly knit in a way.
Yeah.
Very friendly fandom. Yeah. And
it's also like relatively small, for example, compared to like EXO's fandom, which
legit,
was huge.
Like, SHINee is like part of the second gen.
Yeah.
EXO kasi is towards the
like in between sort
in between of. Second and third.
Yeah.
So it's a different vibe of, you know, the age group also of the EXO-Ls versus SHAOs are quite different. And I think it's safe to say that, you know, the age bracket of SHAOs is actually Dane and my age. You know, and but then, you know, even standing SHINee have not so fun.
I mean,
moment.
Yeah, that was, oh gosh, like
especially for Dane, because you stand SHINee first than I.
Yeah, 2009, right? And so and I remember just us having the conversations of, you know, all the groups in SM had already sort of, they had members leaving, SHINee was intact. Oh my gosh, I don't want to cry. SHINee was intact. I mean, they were together. And so
I remember there were tweets about prayer circle for Shinee.
Yeah, like because when the EXO news came out that, you know,
and even
these
the
members were leading. Yeah.
And
Girls' Generation. Yeah, that was the other
one. And like
one.
The only
even
like the last group standing in SM was
Shinee.
NCT and
they were still
Red Velvet
starting out. Yeah.
So.
The only sort of big sort of scandals that happened early on in the Shinee days were the dating scandal again of Jonghyun, which I remember was pretty major, although like I know a lot of people didn't take it well as well. You know, there were, I think the girl had to shut down her social media.
Yeah.
I don't even know if it was Instagram already. I think it might have been Me Today or something.
And there were public pictures of him Shin Se-kyung.
Yeah. So that was kind of the big thing, but I think people got over it quite quickly. And there was the thing of Onew sort of being caught showing the middle finger to, I don't know, one of the other guys during a radio show.
At nasaktan talaga si Dindo because
si
Onew.
He's my bias. He's my bias. I like guys who sing really well. It's not obvious yet. Yeah, but that was, again, like he had to apologize, I think. And then, it was fine.
But then, you know, like the Onew middle finger scandal was not even a very big issue.
In the grand scheme of
things. It's not, it's just like, people will forgive him because other people.
We all do it.
I mean, come on.
Yeah. I think when it became really kind of serious with Shinee was in 2017.
Yeah.
So Onew had that. He had gotten really drunk in a club and there were allegations of sexual harassment that were eventually dropped, I believe. But by then, like he had to take a break.
It was a pretty long break, right?
Yeah. And it was shocking because by then they were doing so well. They had been doing so well already.
I think they during that time they just finished, I think, a Japan concert.
Yeah.
And then we were so scared also because 2018 is their 10th year.
Right.
So we were thinking that, oh no, are they gonna like skip the 10th year anniversary because of this big scandal?
Yeah.
Because of course sexual harassment is not a joke.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we were a bit worried about that.
And Onew was already of the age that he could actually realistically go to the army. And so that's another thing.
He was turning.
He's born 89.
Yeah, he was so turning 29 or 30
in age. Yeah, so he's very close to enlistment. And Pao and I had not seen them. No, did we? We'd already seen them together.
Yeah.
But not in a concert on their own lang. I mean, I saw Shinee World 1 on my own. But Pao and I had only seen them in the concert in the Philippines.
Yeah. Like, I think the same year, we both saw them in 1K concert here in the Philippines. I think that was March 2017. Oh my gosh, I think I'm gonna cry. to be honest, that was my first shock. I really feel like sayang yung moment ko. Pero that was my first Shinee quote-unquote concert.
Right.
Because Dean saw them
2010
in Singapore,
I
wasn't really
at the advice of a friend who was just being, because I was like, oh, they're gonna have a concert in 2010, it's their first tour. My friend was like, oh, you should go na, baka mag-disband na sila. I'm like, no, they won't. But in my head, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go na. You never know. And I'm really thankful that I flew in for a weekend, and it was my birthday, I think.
Aww.
It was the day before, like, no, my birthday was Friday. My friend at work threw a party for me, and I didn't know, and I was like, oh my gosh, I have a flight the next day, like 5 a.m. But I survived, it's fine. But yeah, and I was alone. It was my first K-pop concert outside of Manila.
And they were complete, right?
They were complete.
What year was that?
2010. Sherlock.
And I think Sherlock.
Yeah, it might have been 2011, actually. Or 2012. Yeah, 2011, I think. Yeah. So, but anyway.
Was that Shinee World 2?
It was one.
No freaking
dude, it
way!
It was one.
Oh my gosh, ngayon ko lang to nalalaman.
It was one. Mino was so payat. You know, he wasn't his like. I mean, he showed his abs. I love that. Ito yung naalala ko, diba? He showed his abs, pero parang he was so skinny. He looked very like they looked super young, pa. Yeah. So.
Nice. Yeah. I didn't know that.
It was Shiny World One. It was Shiny World One.
And then I think you saw them twice, right?
So yeah, PD Nim and I saw them in the Philippines for another one of those joined up concerts.
Oh, so, I was there, but I was outside.
Because yeah, you weren't like a super fan.
Yeah.
Yet. We actually had gone to watch EXO K.
And then. Shiny was there.
And Shiny happened to be there as well. So
Minho
like,
was not there.
Minho wasn't there because he had to host
an event.
Music Core or something. Yeah. Yeah. So
that
yeah,
was twice for Dave.
And then that and third then, time.
Yeah, the third time was the 2017. Also collective concert of different groups.
Yeah.
Well, for me, like what I said, 2017, the collective concert was my first time to see Shiny. Hmm. And to be honest, oh my gosh, naiyak na ako. And to be honest, I was telling Damian, sabi ko, okay, let's, I'm really sold out, like, watching
we
them.
We have to fly again.
We
to
have
watch
to fly.
Them.
Like, by hook or by crook, I will fly out yeah, to see them live. And I didn't really think that it's the, oh my gosh, naiyak ako.
And there were so many, oh man, there were so many concerts that we were thinking, oh, let's go, let's fly to Thailand. But something happened, I don't know. We were fun employed this year also. I guess it didn't help. So yeah, you're like, nah, let's wait for another day.
Yeah.
We kept,
and I'm pretty sure, like I was telling David, I'm pretty sure there's gonna be another leg. Like,
that's more
I
realistic.
I think we're waiting for the Singapore leg.
Yeah.
That's like the most realistic.
Yeah, because we had gone to Singapore yeah, concerts before and it's like, yeah, just the easiest to manage.
And we wanted to also hear them speak
English. Yeah.
Because the probability of Shiny speaking in English would be definitely in Singapore.
Yeah, so
yeah. Like after the ONU incident, mm-hmm, I was scared that they won't bounce back. But you know, I had hope because I'm pretty sure, like ONU with the personality of ONU, mm, I know that they will be able to like get themselves together again.
Yeah,
but they just need time.
Yeah,
and then I was also hopeful because they're about to celebrate the 10th anniversary. So
yes,
I was thinking like, oh, the 10th anniversary concert will be a very big,
big
celebration.
Yeah.
And Dane and I were saying that, oh, maybe we can catch them like in Seoul.
For the 10th anniversary.
2017 was very eventful. That's also the first time that I flew into Seoul. So I was really hopeful that the following year would be more colorful as a shower.
Yeah.
And then, oh my gosh, I don't know how to proceed with this, but I think the biggest blow to me, and to Dane, to be honest, was when Jonghyun left for good.
Yeah.
I remember it was really emotional for me. Like, not emotional na, you know, na parang bukas wala na to. Hindi. Mm-hmm. For me, it took me a while to really come to terms with the fact that he's already gone. And it was so difficult to the point that I had to really get away from Twitter for a while. Tumblr. I had to close down my Tumblr, I remember. Because Tumblr was also so emotional back then. I remember buying the season's greetings for 2018 and I couldn't even, until now, I haven't really opened it.
Yeah.
I don't know how it looks like. I don't know. Like, it was, siguro, for me, it was really traumatizing. And by the way, the reason why I reacted that way, Jonghyun was my bias.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I was really a blinger. So I was a blinger. Yeah. And then, a while ago, before we started this recording, we were recalling about, you know, where was I?
Yeah.
Where were we during that time? And I remember receiving a Viber message from a friend in Korea saying that, hey Pao, don't be shocked because there's this news going around and I don't know if this is real. So she connected me to a news portal. And the news portal was all in Hangul.
Yeah.
I can read Hangul, I can understand some, but I was so slow. And when I saw the news about Kim Jong-un passing away, I was really shaking that bad. Mm. That I couldn't even type how I feel about it. I just had to ask Idinim and Dean to, can you please check if this is real?
Yeah.
And then I think after that, everything is a blur.
Yeah, like the finality of when the news broke, and it was kind of like a lot of news outfits were reporting it simultaneously, and so they just didn't feel like there was a way that it wasn't true.
And same thing that I dealt with, you know, the news with Hanbin. Now, at first, I was really in denial back then. Jonghyun also, I was part of that shallow group who would actually, you know, say that maybe he's just in the emergency room trying to, you know, they're still trying to revive him of some sort. And then I was totally in denial until the following day that, you know, people were really saying that he's really gone, and there were evidences of suicide.
Yeah.
Also, apparent suicide. Because they saw the paraphernalias back in the apartment that he rented, and it was really painful. And we were saying that to each other that it was surreal, diba? Na parang you can't grasp that he's really not here anymore.
I did not think it would affect me as much. I mean, because we hear about musicians sort of passing away, you know.
Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, well, I was too young to sort of understand the whole Kurt Cobain thing, but like Amy Winehouse was sort of a big one for me, but it wasn't emotional. It was a shock. But I think with Jonghyun, I felt it on like a personal level, which I didn't expect as well, and which is why I was so shaken up, is I couldn't function. And I was really crying. And again, it went back to, I don't even know him, you know, I don't know him personally, but I feel this horrible. And it took me a while to sort of come to terms with that, that it's okay to feel this way even if you don't know this person personally.
Actually, another thing that entered my mind back then was, so how did the members, the SHINee members...
That was another thing.
You know, reacted, or how did they feel, where they were, when it happened, and were they together, or... Something like that. And we all know that, of course, the SHINee members and even their family are
pretty close.
A family,
as well.
So
I think that the realization that hit me the most then was, I never realized. I mean, I didn't think about Jonghyun that much. He wasn't my bias. I liked them in variety shows, but then after that happened, I just realized that, I guess in the back of my head, I always kind of imagined that, you know, he would be making his music, producing in his studio. And to realize finally that that won't happen anymore, and he's just not there anymore, the finality of it really hit me. And to be so young as well, and to have so much potential, he had come out of promoting, right?
Yeah,
he had released...
Actually, what really hit me back then was we came to Korea November, last week of November 2017.
That was so close to what happened.
And then I was actually debating if I should go back because he had a concert second week of December.
Yeah.
And then I was telling our friends, like Binem and Dean, that I want to go, but I don't have any cash anymore.
It was close to your birthday as
And it was also close to my birthday. So I was really debating, but when you don't have cash anymore, you can't buy. So, and then I have to say that I think that's one of my regrets also. Siguro kung pwede namang maghirap, di ba? Kikitain ko rin naman yung pera. Pero di ko ginawa. So I'm thinking that if I was there, how would I feel? Would I feel more regretful or less regretful?
Yeah.
And at the same time, I remember talking to Won Shawol. She said that, you know, you don't know how it felt, you know, how it feels to actually line up for his concert and then a week after lining up for his funeral.
Yeah.
It was really a very shocking, emotional blur. I don't know how will you describe it, but it was really a rocky time for Shawols.
And
for me personally.
Yeah, same. And that was when, I think after that, I really distanced myself from K-pop for a bit, just because it wasn't the same. And yeah, and I couldn't listen to their songs.
I couldn't watch any
their MVs, especially their variety shows. I really just couldn't.
I remember purchasing Poet Artist, the posthumous album of Jung, and then I couldn't really get myself to open it.
Yeah.
And it was really horrible. Like, you know how it feels like, I'm in the merch league. So getting merch would be such a joy for me, collecting all the merch and the albums. And then when I received that album, I couldn't even get it out of the wrapper.
Yeah. I think the only time I really considered to sort of get back into the fandom, even for a little bit, was to support them, the remaining four, in their Japan concerts, which they had decided they would push through. But we knew that the demand would be so high and it would be difficult to get tickets. And we were inactive on Stan Twitter, so we had no way to know how to go about it.
Yeah.
So we decided not to. But I do recall sort of looking at fan cams, checking Twitter on the day that it was happening.
I remember those 2 days, days of concert. And I had to go on Mixler to listen. A friend, a couple of Shawel friends actually went to both days, and they were kind enough to go on Mixler, and I don't know if that's illegal. it is actually but then for someone who can't be there, and I just want to know if they're okay, if they can push the concert throughout. It was really meaningful, and I was really thankful, but at the same time I was really hurt. I hear fans crying in the background,
and even the four of them were like crying, calling his name. But then after that, I mean, really took a break from sort of K-pop fangirling, and I really, like, I think I only started listening to SHINee songs again without wanting to cry this year, to be honest, and watching their MVs. I haven't gotten to sort of the variety shows yet. I'll work my way up to that. But yeah, like, that was pretty tough.
For me, I think I was able to listen earlier than Dane.
Yeah.
But the blow to me naman is that I couldn't really sleep well.
Oh yeah.
That's the worst thing, I think. That's the worst possible reaction.
Mm.
Na hindi ako makatulog talaga. And I really struggled with my sleeping patterns. At the same time, I couldn't get to talk about it.
Mm.
So parang, yun nga. Kasi nga surreal talaga.
Yeah.
Parang, I just can't with SHINee.
Yeah. It was tough.
It was really tough.
When they came back for their 10th anniversary, I mean, I watched the videos, sort of played the music on Spotify. When they came back, it was easier to see the four of them. I could do it. What I couldn't do was watch the five of them, like the old shows.
Actually,
I haven't.
Kaya kong panoorin yung bagong MVs na.
Pero the old ones, di talaga.
It took me a while.
Yeah, I love Hello Baby. I haven't seen it since.
I haven't seen Hello Baby.
I haven't. I just can't get myself to see
it. I haven't seen One Fine Day also.
Same.
I get to watch their variety shows, like clips, but not the whole variety.
And I used to, like, before, when I was bored or I didn't have anything to watch on YouTube, I would just keep them on loop because they're so funny. Like, their variety shows are hilarious. Maybe I'll try it. I'll try for growth and for healing. I will try this year. But yeah, like, suffice to say that I think that was the lowest point of my fangirling. Understandably so. And it really puts things in perspective, I guess. I can't imagine anything worse than that, honestly, for a fangirl.
That's basically what shaped our reaction for, what happened the past few days. And we're not saying, again, we're not saying that, you should have the same reaction as ours.
Yeah. Or that this is,
the best way to cope.
Yeah, and also that, what's happening now is less horrible than, the things that happened before.
Icon's scandal is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, grief is relative. And if I understand, like, if this is the first time you're going through this and they're the first group that you stand and really committed to, it can really feel like the world is over.
Yeah.
Those are valid feelings.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that I'm right, but I'm still hopeful.
For me, my stand here is that I'm not going to try to overanalyze it. I think
yun din.
Parang ayoko siyang i-overanalyze. I don't want to like play detective. If you play detective, you're bound to see something that you might question.
Yeah.
Like, so is this real or not?
Yeah.
So the best way is to just go with the flow for the meantime.
Yeah.
If you can't go to Stan Twitter, or if you can't view their videos, or if you can't like just, you know, you break down if you see Hanbin's photo, just don't.
Or
give yourself
a break.
You
can't keep up with the news because it's too painful to listen to.
Yeah.
Don't. Like, don't even try. It's fine.
Yeah. One of the realizations also is that fangirling is painful at times.
Yeah.
I mean, it can be an escape for real life.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it has its own dark side.
Yeah. As with everything, I suppose. It's not a fairy tale.
Yeah, definitely not.
And there are things that will upset you that will turn out not the way you expected, that will just shatter sort of your perspective. And I think that's always the most sort of painful thing, is when you expect something of someone and realize either that they're not who they were, or that, you know, something like this happened. I think the reason why I'm not so broken is because I can accept that this happened, but I still have faith in the boys.
And we all make mistakes.
Yeah.
Just in case, like, if this events progress into something worse, we should always remember that they are humans too. I mean, we should also be forgiving. If later on, let's say, you find yourself, you don't want to stay in the fandom, that's also valid.
Very valid.
You shouldn't feel like you'll be judged for it.
Take it one day at a time and see how you feel about it one day at a time.
Yes.
Because you can also change how you feel, you know, as things progress. That's totally valid. You can have hope one day and lose all that hope the next. I mean, like, hopefully it doesn't happen. I said hope a lot in that sense. But it's a roller coaster. That's life, you know.
Just expect for the worst and hope for the best.
Yeah.
I think that strikes the balance to just keep your sanity intact.
Yeah, that's how I am in life too, you know, now that I think about it. But strangely, I feel like I'm a positive person, but I think the way I'm positive is, if the worst thing happens, I know how I'd want to survive it. And that's how I remain positive, is, okay, like, the worst thing can happen, but I can overcome it. And except for, I think, the thing with Jonghyun and Shinee was, there was no scenario where in my head
like
what happened,
it wasn't an option.
It wasn't an option.
That wasn't part of the whole equation.
Yeah,
back then.
It wasn't a worst case scenario that I recognized, and I think that's why I was just shattered about it. But I think here it helps to sort of come to terms with, what are you willing to deal with and to accept and to bear?
Yeah,
and sort of just being true to that. If you can't stand that for a little while,
yeah,
and I say this because I'm hopeful,
but
it's fine.
If you need to take a break, it's fine.
I think it's important to be a little selfish as a fangirl and care about
self-care.
Yourself.
Is always your first priority.
That's the first priority. And I mean, because at the end of the day, we fangirl for ourselves as well.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, we support, you know, our favorite idols, but at the end of the day, I think it's also because we enjoy seeing them perform, whatever. So you can't lose sight of that.
For me, if you need to talk to people that would understand more of your situation, why not? I mean, it's okay to open up to other people as well.
Mm.
You'll be surprised. Actually, in my case, when this news broke out, the first people, surprised nga rin ako na hindi sila Dane yung una kong nilapitan. I guess because I know that they're also affected. So I need a perspective of someone who's not affected.
Yeah.
So that's when I sought the attention of my Shawol friends in my other Stan Twitter account. I was reminded that, you know, this is not the worst thing that can happen for Icon. There are far more worse things that can happen in life. But at the same time, that gives me hope that, okay, they're not in the worst case scenario yet.
Yeah.
So that means that's actually a brighter situation.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it's sad, no? It's really sad, but the Jonghyun incident really shaped my fangirl life. Mahirap talaga. You're on that part where your bias is really the one that is in the center of the news. It really shaped me a lot, and it helped me bounce back. That's my takeaway, and that's how I cope in this situation.
Yeah.
It really felt good, to be honest. Like, seeing a perspective from someone outside of the box. Someone who doesn't stan
Icon, yeah.
I don't regret standing Icon at all. I don't regret standing Shinee or EXO. I don't regret becoming a fangirl.
Yeah.
There's no such thing. Kasi I mean, come on. I mean,
we wouldn't be friends, you and I, if we weren't fangirls. If we're being honest. That's how we met. So,
and yeah, if you have listened to our previous episodes, we have been, like, you know, going to different trips.
Yeah.
And the previous trip that we had in Seoul, it was actually Icon themed.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't be having that much fun if, yeah, you know, we're not fangirls. So definitely not regretting having this fangirl life.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, like, what's keeping me together in this whole thing is my faith in the Icon members. Like, I just know that they will pull through together somehow. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know in what way, but I just really have this, like, that is the foundation of my Icon belief system, is I know that they, like, the seven of them have a special relationship, and they will pull through.
Yeah.
Because they've gone through difficult times.
Together.
Yeah, and you don't get out of that not being stronger. But at the same time, like you, Bao, I try not to dwell into it. I try not to speculate.
Yeah.
Think about the possibilities.
I think we're done in our fangirl life. We're already done doing the, like, detective, so, conspiracy theorist kind of fangirling lifestyle.
We were heavy on that, on the XO thing, I think. And yeah, eventually, like that just was, that made it more dramatic. Like, yeah, that was the cause of sort of our drama then.
To put it really bluntly, it wasn't healthy for our mental health.
Yeah,
also.
Yeah. But I mean, I think some people maybe gain comfort from that. But I think just from my experience, it's
we're speaking for ourselves.
Like, it's not, it wasn't helpful for me to sort of dwell and look at all sort of the nooks and crannies and find something that might, you know, bother me. So I also avoid sort of triggering content like that.
I also learned that.
Like, you don't have to know everything.
Ang bilis ko na mag-tap out ngayon. Yeah. If I feel like I know that, you know, it's tickling my bad side and the mental health issue, I tap out.
But that's not to say that you will fully deny sort of the truth. Or, you know, when something in your face is true, like, you have to come to terms with it. But when something isn't, don't dwell on it.
And don't investigate as if you are an expert about it.
Of course, easier said than done. Because honestly, you know, the thing that muddles all of this whole thing is what is true and what is not.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is sort of the big question. But I think, you know, you can tap out of that sort of discussion as well.
Yeah.
So ultimately, you know, allowing yourself an escape, getting off social media, stan Twitter if you don't, if you can't handle it anymore.
Find another outlet. Yeah. In my case, I was productive.
When for you?
I was productive at work. I mean, I finished a lot. And because I avoided stan Twitter. So technically, I wasn't really actively checking all the news and all the reactions.
Yeah.
I deliberately tapped out and focus myself on something that I know that I would be more productive on.
Yeah.
So in my case, it was really working my ass off.
I think you did better at that than me. Like, on, like, June 12th, I said I was gonna keep editing my book, my story, but I didn't do that. Today we're actually, so we're in virology again, and we're with PDNIM and our other friend actually for some, I guess, non-Icon related discussions later on.
Just catching up.
Catching up, yeah.
So, catching up with real life.
With real life, yeah. So I think that's going to be helpful. But I have to say, though, that while I was trying to get off stan Twitter, I kept to my DMs because there were a lot of people, you know, my mutuals, and even people who aren't in the fandom who were just sending messages of hang in there, supportive. Like, it was really nice as well. So take what you feel is beneficial to you and only sort of latch onto what is true or the truth, which I know is easier said than done, but yeah, it's a good principle to have.
We're actually hopeful to watch them or to catch them in Osaka.
Yeah, we already have tickets to
for the Icon in Japan tour this year.
Yeah, in September.
We bought them before the news broke out, and I can say that we didn't even have a discussion if we're going or not. I mean, we're still
going.
Yeah. We're still going whether Hanbin is there or Hanbin will not be there. We just want to be there to support also the boys.
And of course, I think it's also a sort of contested issue of do you go or do you not go? Do you boycott? I think everyone sort of is entitled to their own sort of decision on that, but I think the three of us have decided we're going.
Me,
we don't have flights yet.
Me, Dane, and PDNIM will definitely be there.
Yeah. So, yeah, and we'll see what happens then. I mean, it feels like a long ways away now, honestly, and it's hard to tell what will happen moving forward.
Yeah.
But yeah,
ako personally, I will really support them still.
Same.
Especially for the other six. And even for Hanbin.
For sure. All of them. All seven of them.
All seven of them.
I mean, yeah. In my head, there's still seven of them.
Yeah.
I don't think anything is going to change that. So yeah. But of course, we'll be vigilant of the news and see what happens without it affecting our mental health.
Yeah.
So a healthy sort of detachment to
so
whatever will come out.
Yung pinakausapan lang namin tatlo dito, we're not going to view any videos of the upcoming Japan leg. We just want it to be genuine for us when we go to Osaka.
Yeah. And spoiler free.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you see us be quiet about the concerts from July, it's because we don't want to be spoiled and we just want to experience it without knowing what happens.
And we're hopeful, like, Dane and I are hopeful that we can go and record an episode also in Japan.
Yeah,
right?
Let's do that. With PD Nim.
Yeah, with PD Nim.
Hopefully she's gonna be there anyway.
Yeah.
So.
PD Nim will reveal herself.
Yeah. If you need anyone to talk to, again, if you're dealing with something, we'll post some helpful links on the show notes.
And do reach out to us.
Our DMs are open.
You can tweet us, you can publicly reach out to us, and we'll try to be accommodating.
Yeah.
Especially now in these trying times, we're really,
it helps,
we really
to talk
know
to someone.
That it really helps to have a support group.
Yeah.
So just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Thank you for listening to this episode. And we'll see you for hopefully much more happy and fun episode moving forward.
And just in case that there would be any news that breaks out after this recording, we're just hopeful that, you know, you stay strong and, you know, all this for Icon.
Yeah.
So that's it. We'll see you again on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.